Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs.
Issue 138.
Ben Stark of Wondermill Films. Franco Usmile of Dawn of the Dad.
Franco, how are you today?
I'm fantastic, Ben. Thank you for having me on a listicle episode.
Yes, this is a cross-branding thing that we're trying. So it is the, for all intents and purposes, the end of summer or the end of the summer movie season. There's a few stragglers coming out, but the summer is kind of past. The major things are over. There's nothing else huge to look forward to unless you're counting Mechanic Resurrection. So that means that the rest of the year is not necessarily straight up Oscar season, but it's definitely the part of the year when the studios, big and small, start releasing all of the projects that they're really most proud of. And that means that we've got a long list of movies still, even though the year is more than half over. We've got a long list of movies that look pretty good. Ben Flanagan and I did our top five of the year so far last week or a few weeks ago. And so we thought it'd be cool if we got together and talked about what movies we're most anticipating in the rest of 2016. So I've got a top five list, right? You've got a top five list?
Oh, I have a top 18 list. Is that okay?
Oh, my God.
Is that going to work? No, I whittled it down to five. Don't worry. But
wow.
I do have 18 tabs open. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some honorable mentions, so we can take.
Yeah,
I'll
spit fire through them at the end.
Yeah, at the end. But for now, let's just start at your number five. Go ahead.
Okay, my number five is a movie called Arrival. It is a science fiction movie directed by Denis Villeneuve, and it stars Amy Adams and Jeremy Renner and Forest Whitaker and Michael Stuhlbarg, etc. And it is, the teaser just came out. And so this guy directed Prisoners, Enemy, Ansandi, and one other one.
Sicario.
Yes. Yeah. So I've seen Prisoners and Sicario, and I like them both. And I think both are made with a very kind of assured directorial hand, and that's kind of what I like a lot in my movies. And I like sci-fi, and so this seems to be kind of a hard kind of sci-fi drama. And I guess drama is like my favorite genre, which is kind of weird. But when Letterboxd tells me that I watch that one by far the most, so there you go. So that's my number five. I don't really know anything about it aside from it says, taking place after alien crafts land around the world, an expert linguist is recruited by the military to determine whether they come in peace or are a threat. I'm hoping it's not like an action spectacle, and it's more like a heady, tense. Like, Sicario had action, but I wouldn't call it an action movie. Same with Prisoners. I hope it's kind of a sci-fi thriller type thing.
Is it on your
radar?
Oh, absolutely. It's in my honorable mentions. That teaser, though, I mean, that almost popped it into my top five. It does look fantastic. I've only seen Sicario, but I loved it. It was on my top 10 of last year. I think this guy is phenomenal. And I'm very excited for this. And the fact that I know so little about it is a big reason that I'm so excited. And honestly, I don't need to see anything else. That teaser, the way it was cut and the way it ends is just marvelous. And like I said, I don't need to see anything else to know that I want to see that movie. And he's also doing the next Blade Runner. So this is kind of a sci-fi dry run for him, I guess.
Right, and I didn't even know he had this on his plate until like 2-3 weeks ago. So that's fun too, just to like not anticipate something for so long, because expectations and all that. Yep.
So
it just kind of came out of nowhere for me.
Yep, I agree. It's the same here. It's exciting. My number five is another movie that had a pretty recent trailer released. It's Damien Chazelle's La La Land, which is, as far as I can tell, kind of a throwback to classic Hollywood musicals with Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, I believe. And it the trailers, just the visuals look amazing. The throwback nature of it looks great. Ryan Gosling is in a strong position for me because of The Nice Guys. And although I haven't seen Whiplash, which is crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the buzz on that is so positive. And I think Damien Chazelle is kind of up my alley. Plus, he co-wrote 10 Cloverfield Lane, which is one of my favorite movies of the year so far. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. It looks like something different in terms of Oscar season and Hollywood action movies. It's not a drama. It's not a big action movie. It's not a sci-fi movie. It's a nice romantic musical, and we don't get very many of those. So I'm really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, I'm excited that he, cashed in his goodwill from Whiplash to make this, what looks like a pretty personal, idiosyncratic movie. And his background is in music, so the story of Whiplash is kind of autobiographical, so it's cool that he's still in a genre that he feels comfortable with. And I really think you should watch Whiplash, Ben. It's pretty good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I know. I for whatever reason, I've had a hard time getting my hands on it and then making time for it. So,
yeah, of course.
I'm ashamed.
So, before we move on, Arrival comes out November 11th, and La La Land December 2nd. For those of you taking notes at home.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for throwing that out there. I'll hold you to that from now on.
And
no,
that's according to Google. So
yeah.
That might be like New York, LA, but that's just what Google tells me.
It's a date. We just need to give these people a date and they'll be happy. It's fine.
Right.
We don't have a lot of listeners in the flyover states anyway, so it's fine. all right, so what's your number four?
So from here on out, a big part of my anticipation was I like to follow film festivals and see what gets buzz. And so after Cannes, I made a list. So from here on out, Cannes had an influence on my anticipation just because, critics really dug it or whatever. They got good buzz. So this next one is called Patterson. It is directed by Jim Jarmusch, who is a divisive director, to say the least. So this movie is called Patterson. It stars Adam Driver, and it is set in the present in Patterson, New Jersey, and it is a tale about a bus driver who is also a poet. And there's no trailer, but there's a clip out there, and it just seems like this small personal story about just a guy, not a fussy movie, just kind of a character piece. I like Jim Jarmusch's style, even though not a lot, all the time, but I do like that he's a unique voice. So it got good buzz in Cannes, and I like the idea of a bus driver being a poet, and the buzz was kind of like this is a warm tale that isn't really plot-driven. It's just kind of character-based. So I'm excited to see what that might look like.
Yeah, I've also heard good things about this. I feel like after a really nice, even-handed start, I think this is where our lists are going to start forking, and I'm going to just feel like a big, dumb idiot every time out. When you pick something and then I follow up with mine. Because, first of all, I've never seen a Jim Jarmusch movie, you see. So there's an objective way that I'm a big dummy. But yeah, I'm interested in this movie, as I'm interested in basically all of his movies. I mean, you have to sit, and after I watch Whiplash someday, sit and watch a Jim Jarmusch movie, because I feel like, again, he's kind of right up my alley.
Want you to know that the insecurities go both ways, because when I, right before I say my movies, I feel like, oh, am I coming off as this, like, pretentious kind of phony?
Oh, yeah, yeah, so. You are, but that's okay. My number four is, and you'll see why that's okay, my number four is Star Wars, a Rogue One story, or rather the reverse, Rogue One, a Star Wars story. So it's another little esoteric character piece about a gross girl that has a space adventure. I kind of jumped the gun on it just because I wanted to highlight that, you know, this may come up again once on our lists of, and I think that's good. I think that's why you and I are talking about this, is because we can kind of cover the, I don't follow the film festival circuit that much, so we can kind of cover the wide gamut of, you know, from smaller to larger releases. Is this on your radar at all?
I know
you weren't a huge fan of Force Awakens.
Well, so I like Gareth Edwards. I liked Godzilla and of like the construction of tension and the set pieces, although the characters weren't, you know, it was kind of fine. And so I like him, and this last trailer that came out like a week ago, I thought was really strong. So I'm back into being cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I was sold after that first teaser, but yeah, what's really bringing me in here is Gareth Edwards. I'm a fan of Godzilla. I really like monsters. Yeah, you're right about the character stuff. He's definitely more of a theme and visual director than he is a character, you know, performance director. And there's been some rumors of reshoots that might confirm that suspicion. So I'm kind of cautiously optimistic with it, but I think everything we've seen so far is good, and I do think that Kathleen Kennedy is a strong enough hand at Lucasfilm that I think she's kind of got that Kevin Feige thing where she won't let a movie, you know, hit the release without it being at worst extremely solid, you know. In the long term things, it may mean that there's not as much authorial voice, which is often the problem with, or, you know, a criticism of Marvel, but I still think that means that we're going to get something good and special. So that's my number four, the character.
Well, and
Rogue One.
Yeah. Well, speaking of characters maybe not being his strong suit, I do like the cast a lot. So they bring a lot of prestige and acting chops. You know, you got Forest Whitaker, Ben Mendelsohn, amongst many others.
Donnie Yen.
I haven't seen Felicity Jones in anything, but you got Mads Mikkelsen, so that's exciting. And that comes out December 16th, and Patterson gets December 28th, so just, you know, maybe for Oscars, even though Jim Jarmusch doesn't make Oscar movies, but just in case. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. What's your number three?
Okay. Oh, right. So my number three also got good buzz out of Cannes. It is The Salesman, which is Asghar Farhadi's new movie. And he directed A Separation, which is in my top two of the 2010s so far. It's an Iranian movie, as is this. And I've seen one other film of his from like 2006, and it was also expertly directed. Very kind of story, theme, and character-based. The compositions are very interesting and cinematic, but not kinetic. So they're forced out of their apartment, a couple, and they move into a new flat, and an incident linked to the previous tenant will dramatically change the young couple's life, and they're both doing death of a salesman in theater, and so there's like a weird kind of like meta link there between what's going on in the play and in their life. And it got good buzz, and I liked the other films of his that I saw, and I like Iranian movies in general. I feel like they're pretty high quality, and I like to peek into like a culture that is very foreign to me through movies, so that's why it's my number three.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of in an ongoing golden age, it seems like. I've not seen any contemporary Iranian cinema, unfortunately. I've never seen a Separation, but it's another one that's high on my to-see list of recent movies. And, so this one has gotten good buzz? Like,
yeah,
on the
it,
level
it got...
of Separation?
No, because that one was just so high.
Right.
More so than the one that he did between A Separation and this, which was called The Past. And that one, I believe, is in French or partly in French, and it has Marion Cotillard.
Okay.
The Salesman
yeah.
comes out December 9th, but, you know, probably just in New York.
Yeah, coming to Netflix so, March 2017.
For yeah, exactly.
Well, awesome.
What's your three?
My number three is, this was not intended as a pun, but it is actually The Movie Three. It's the new Johnny Toe action movie. I have no idea what
Look
the
plot you,
is.
Look at you, dude.
Thanks. That's not condescending. I have no idea what the plot is, but there's a strangely cut trailer out there that's been around since the spring, and it looks amazing. A lot of the action looks like it takes place in the hospital. In a hospital of some sort. Johnny Toe is just a crazy, eclectic filmmaker. You never know what you're going to get. But his last movie that I saw, Drug War, was in my top five of 2013, and I've gone back and looked at a few of his other action movies, and they're all fantastic. He's just so good at telling stories about oftentimes males, but groups of people. He's great at staging action. He's kind of like John Woo with a little bit of the opera, sanded off. It's just really great, tense filmmaking, and everything that is in this trailer just makes me very excited for his newest movie. And I have no idea when it's coming up, so Google it.
Yeah, so I hadn't heard of this movie, otherwise it would have been on my radar. I've only seen Drug War, which I liked very much.
Yeah, it's great.
The pacing, the construction of the geography and the action.
Yep.
I was like, oh, this guy like knows what he's doing and does
yep.
things the hard way, but the better way.
Yeah.
And that's fun.
And he's been
there's
doing
no
it
U.S.
So
release
long.
Date
yeah.
That I can find. It came out 2 months ago in Australia. That's all I got.
Okay, so it should be a 2016 movie.
At the very least, it'll get a VOD or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then I'd also recommend Exiled as a movie of his. It's got those dynamics. It's got all that geography. It's fantastic. So that's my number three.
Cool. My number two is coming out in 4 days, at least, limited. It is Kubo and the Two Strings.
Oh, yeah.
It is a stop-motion animated movie from Laika Studios. Laika did Coraline, Paranorman, and Box Trolls, all three which are varying degrees of great to fantastic. And the reviews are coming out, and people are, like, losing their S over this movie. The critics, they love it. They say it's so good. And the trailers are out there. It's, you know, an epic fantasy set from what I believe, an unnamed Asian country, but like samurais are in it. It seems like really, really cool, and I like those movies I named, so I'm really excited about it.
It's kind of a cheat because that many people would count that as a summer movie, but I'll give it to you because it's not a summer movie. You know what I mean? And yes, the trailer.
Oh, right.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I have to get my shots in where I can to make myself look better. The trailer is just absolutely magical, and I have seen Paranorman and Coraline, and for whatever reason, the story of those didn't stick with me, but the craftsmanship and the animation is just absolutely mind blowing. So I'm always going to tune in for their work. And I'm not surprised to see it so high on your list.
Yeah, I do agree that those don't have the best kind of Pixar-y kind of like gut punch stories, but they're very entertaining. Kind of popcorn fun.
Yeah, and super imaginative.
Coraline, scary too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's scary in a fun kid's way, you know.
Yeah, totally.
My number two is Doctor Strange, which is a movie when it was announced that I was not that excited for. I like the character of Doctor Strange. I like the Defenders, the group that he's part of with Hulk and Silver Surfer. But I never, it's not like a character that I grew up loving. And also Scott Derrickson is a director I'm not too familiar with. I haven't seen Sinister. I've seen bits and pieces of The Day the Earth Stood Still, and it did not look that great. So I was just kind of skeptical. I haven't seen The Exorcism of Emily Rose. So I was kind of skeptical, but then that first trailer came out, the Benedict Cumberbatch and the casting of Chiwetel Ejiofor and Mads Mikkelsen and Tilda Swinton. All that stuff, it was just like, man, they're making a lot of really interesting choices on this film. And then, like I said, the trailer came out, and it looks to kind of take some of the visual ideas of Inception and build on them and present a movie that doesn't really look much like other Marvel movies have looked. And it just looks like it's taking a lot of risks. And there's just a lot to be excited about here. And also Scott Derrickson, I started following him on Twitter, and just his personality and the way he looks at movies and the way he talks about things. He's a really smart dude, and I'm kind of thinking I need to go on a little marathon and check out some of his past work in anticipation for Doctor Strange. So again, like when I made my list and kind of it kept bumping up like towards the top, I was shocked, but yeah, and then especially that last trailer, I'm all in on Marvel's Doctor Strange.
Yeah, he's a character I didn't read comic books as a kid, you know, like some Batman and X-Men, like just very superficial interest. And so I hadn't heard of him until it was announced. So I'm going into this pretty cold, and from what I hear, he's like, it's kind of a bold choice to make a movie about him, and the cast could not be better, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's getting into this weird magical realm that they've kind of stayed away from, but it's also, it's going at it from a perspective of like different dimensions, which is neat, and kind of there was a little tease of that in Ant-Man. It was the best part of Ant-Man, so I'm really hoping that they let Derrickson take the gloves off and just kind of go very wacky and very weird, because the Doctor Strange comics that I've read are very much that. They're very weird.
Nice.
And I think that the release date on that is like Thanksgiving.
November 4th. November 4th.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's coming up earlier than I thought.
Yeah.
All right.
In about a couple months. All right. My number one?
Yes.
Okay. My number one is a movie called American Honey. and it is from the director Andrea Arnold, and she directed Fish Tank, which was kind of like Michael Fassbender's big movie-ish before he got big, and Wuthering Heights a couple of years ago, and those two are real good. And she likes to shoot in a 1.66 aspect ratio, which is always like an interesting decision creatively. And it is, so there's a trailer out there, and it's basically about this girl with like nothing to lose joins a traveling magazine crew, and then it's like a road trip movie, and there's like partying and law bending, and it just is very, it seems very formally and narratively unique, and it kind of gives me a Spring Breakers vibe, but the director is very different, so I'm interested to see what that's like. And then the James Franco kind of character in the movie, the kind of male pixie dream boy thing, is played by Shia LaBeouf, which I like him when he's weird and very committed. I liked him in Fury and in Nymphomaniac, and his kind of like just intense kind of, you know, artist actory thing. So I know he's going to bring something to the table. And it got really good buzz out of Cannes. And the trailer looks good. I mean, it's just got a lot of good things going for it. I like road movies. It is 2.5 hours long, which is my, you know. So it's about as long as your average action blockbuster these days. But I hope it isn't. I hope the pacing's good, or at least.
Well, if it's not, you know what the headline would be. More like American Molasses.
Molasses, yes. I like that.
Yeah, she's another filmmaker that I've wanted to check out. So yeah, it didn't quite make my honorable mentions just because I'm not familiar enough with her to fully anticipate, but I did consider it.
Cool. Yeah. That comes out. Hold on. American Honey, September 30th. So soonish.
Oh wow!
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And did it get good? Has it gotten festival buzz?
Yeah. It debuted in Cannes, and the critics loved it for the most part.
Okay, well, my number one is a movie that's been kind of talked about and rumored for a while, and nothing has come of it, or at least we haven't seen anything of it really, aside from a few photos and a plot synopsis. It's based on a book, but other than that, I don't know an awful lot about it, but it is Martin Scorsese's Silence. It is a movie about Jesuit monks. And it's about religious persecution, and that's kind of all I know about it. I think it has Liam Neeson and Andrew Garfield in it. I'm a big fan of The Last Temptation of Christ, so I like it when Scorsese gets religious. I think it's a fresh change of pace from Wolf of Wall Street, obviously. It seems to be the exact opposite to make a movie about monks after you make a movie about indulgent 80s or 90s yuppies. I'm always excited for Scorsese. I think he's been on a hot streak since Gangs of New York, and is kind of even, you know, gained momentum since that movie. So I think he's still one of our great living filmmakers. He's still making great movies. And every time he makes a movie, I'm going to be excited for it. I'm not the biggest Wolf of Wall Street fan, but I think that one of the great things about Scorsese is that he meets the material where it lives. You know, he is a totally, you know, personal filmmaker that has a style that you can identify, but he's willing to bend that to the whims of the material. You know, with the King of Comedy, he really reined in his camera, and that's a movie that is all about stillness and just baking in the awkwardness of a moment. And then, of course, she also has, you know, movies like Raging Bull and Goodfellas that are just stylistically wild and all over the place. So I'm curious to see how he approaches such quiet material. And and I'm really I'm just so happy that he keeps taking risks like this. You know, he's just doing his thing, and it makes me happy.
Yeah, I'm excited whenever it seems like he's going to tell a more like personal story. I think that's where his best movies are in terms of like my top Scorsese. And this also has Adam Driver in it. So he's like in a couple of movies, I think, this year. I think his career is like taking off, like, you know, you can't better than he could have ever imagined, which is
absolutely
interesting, considering he was just this dude on the show Girls. Silence is an honorable mention for me because I've heard like rumors that it's not going to come out in time for 2016.
I was afraid of that.
And I was pretty sure that you would have it on your top five. So those two things kind of bumped it out, but it was probably.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
it was like in my
top five.
It was in my top three most anticipated for the year, I think, along with Hail Caesar and the BFG. So he's just one of my guys.
Yeah, totally.
All right.
Should I do some honorable mentions?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So this movie I know nothing about, aside from the fact that it was hands down the favorite of the critics at Cannes. And it's called Tony Erdmann, and that's the name of the character. And it's about a woman whose goofy father comes and lives with her, and things get out of hand, not in a thrillery way, but in like a
slapstick,
it like upends her right.
Yeah.
But so it well, I don't know if it's kind of slapsticky. There's a trailer. It got like insanely good buzz, so that's why it was on there. Should I keep going?
Well, who's in that? Like, what's the pedigree?
Like, nothing. No one I've heard of. It's
really?
From Germany. I forgot to mention that.
Germany
or Austria? Sorry, I don't know. I didn't double check. I think German.
Same thing.
So yeah.
Tony. Yeah, just go down your whole list.
Okay. Loving, directed by Jeff Nichols. So that gets a spot because Jeff Nichols just makes good movies.
Absolutely. That's also on my honorable mention list. It's also, right now, that's my pick for best picture and best director at the Oscars this year. Just throwing that out.
Of course. Sure.
Not that I want it, but I think it will. I think it's got everything going for it. Anyway, I'm interrupting. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a good story. It's timely in this kind of social climate. So I'm excited for that. I like Joel Edgerton, and really, it's Jeff Nichols. I'm there, right? Or at least for like, you know, like anticipating it. Speaking of another one that might be Oscar contender, there's a Birth of a Nation, which was a big deal at Sundance, and it broke the record for biggest like price tag. For that festival, you know, like it was acquired for many millions of dollars. And so those two are like the buzzworthy ones. And that one comes out in October.
Yeah. One of my honorable mentions. It looks fantastic. And it has a bunch of Alabama actors in it. So I'm happy about that.
Cool. Yeah, that's cool. There's a Romanian movie called Graduation, directed by Christian Mungiu, who did Beyond the Hills and 6 weeks?
Oh, yeah.
Three weeks.
The abortion movie.
Yes, exactly. The Romanian abortion movie. I don't really know much about it, but I'm about this new movie called Graduation, but he did it, so it's on my radar. There's a new Paul Verhoeven movie that I believe is French, starring Isabelle Huppert, and it's called Elle, and it's like a revenge thriller. She's like attacked, and then she goes for revenge on people or something like that. It got like buzz at Cannes that it was like salacious kind of thriller than that Paul Verhoeven way. A lot of people were saying he's back.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm thinking that that one's like a PG on the MPAA.
Yeah, I mean parental guidance for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take an LP
just a little bit. Yeah, big it could be her first
fan.
Movie. You know, it's like it's basically Kill Bill, but yeah. So there's the new Pedro Almodovar movie called Julieta, and it's, you know, a movie about a woman, like he does. He, you know, he's one of those, like, master filmmakers that when I hear he's got a new one coming out, I'm going to, at the very least, like, be excited about it. Kelly Reichardt has a new movie called Certain Women, and she did Meek's Cut Off and Wendy and Lucy and Night Moves, and she's really awesome at directing. And this one is about the story of three women and how they intersect in that kind of like Amores Perros kind of way. Michelle Williams is in it, and Laura Dern and Kristen Stewart. So I'm excited about that. She's a great director.
Yeah. That almost made my top five.
Oh, nice.
I love Meek's Cut Off. Old Joy is really great, and I wasn't a huge fan of Night Moves, at least the third act, but it's still 100% a Kelly Reichardt movie, and I just love her. She's great.
Yeah. Okay.
And I've heard good buzz for this, too, so.
No, that's good. I didn't hear anything. Yeah. I just have three more, so hang in there. There's a movie called Manchester by the Sea, directed by Kenneth Lonergan, who did Margaret from a few years ago, or it's 10 years, but then it only came out like a few years ago. And this got really good buzz at Sundance, and it stars Casey Affleck and Kyle Chandler, and it's a drama. And The Handmaiden, directed by Chan-wook Park, the old boy dude. And it got good buzz in terms of, like, if you like his movies, you're going to love this. It's a thriller. It's highly stylized, and I believe it is in a Korean movie. So he went back home. And then there's this big question mark movie for me called The Masterpiece, directed by James Franco, about the making of The Room, and I don't know if it'll be good or terrible, but I'm curious about it. So those are my honorable mentions.
Yeah, I'm skeptical of the...
Sure.
Unfortunately, I'm a little skeptical of Franco in general, just because he's kind of like shotgunning so many things. You know, he's doing so much.
Yeah.
I have no way of keeping up with it, and as a control freak, that bothers me. But like I said, I second Loving, Certain Women, Birth of a Nation, Arrival. A Monster Calls is on my list. It's kind of a Pete's Dragon, BFG kind of kid befriends a monster thing. It's called Monster Calls. It's by J.A. Bayona, who did The Impossible and The Orphanage. And is directing Jurassic Park 5. And I haven't seen any of his movies, but he's got that directing job, so now I got to do my research. And I've heard great things about all those movies. So, Werner Herzog has a new narrative movie starring Michael Shannon, and surprise, surprise, about a volcano, because Werner Herzog loves volcanoes. It's called Salt and Fire, and that's kind of all I know about it. He doesn't make a ton of narratives anymore. His last one, Queen of the Desert, kind of came and went, and I have no idea how to even watch that movie. It had Nicole Kidman in it, and I think it was kind of it wasn't very well regarded.
Well, like, his last handful of narratives haven't been very well regarded. Like, he had one with Michael Shannon called My Son, My Son.
I love that movie. Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't see it.
It's good.
No,
it's
no.
real good. Oh, yeah.
His last narrative movie I saw was Bad Lieutenant with Nick Cage, which I like.
I wasn't crazy about that, but I don't have a substance addiction called Nicolas Cage like you do.
That's true.
Yeah, so another a film I still haven't caught up with this year is Night of Cups, which is potentially the first of two Terrence Malick movies this year. The trailer for Voyage of Time has come out recently, and it's supposed to get two releases, one in 35 regular theaters, and then one in IMAX, each one narrated by either Kate Blanchett or Brad Pitt, I believe. The Tree of Life is probably in my top 25 or so of all time. So, and this is kind of a sizzle reel, I think, of things left out of Tree of Life. So I'm 100% down for that, especially if I could head up to Nashville and see it in the 70mm IMAX, that would be real special.
Do it.
War on Everyone.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that one.
Yeah, yeah, it's the new movie from John Michael McDonough, who directed, wrote and directed Calvary in 2014, which is one of my favorite movies of that year. It's great. He's a fantastic writer. His visual approach is, I feel like, still developing, although there were some really great visual decisions in Calvary. So I'm excited about it. It looks very abrasive. Sully is the new Clint Eastwood movie. It has Tom Hanks in it as the Hudson River pilot guy. It looks good. Mostly I'm in because of Hanks. He's, in my opinion, probably one of our great movie stars. And I'm interested in everything he does. Clint Eastwood hasn't done a whole lot for me lately. I didn't see American Sniper or Changeling or Jersey Boys. Or whatever, Invictus, you know, the other 27 movies he's directed in the last 6 weeks. But
The Hereafter, do you remember that movie?
The Hereafter, yeah. It's an Amblin movie. I've kind of tuned out on Clint Eastwood, but, you know, Letters from Iwo Jima was pretty recently, and it was 10 years ago now. But it's that's a pretty great movie. So I feel like he's still got something. Light Between the Oceans is the new movie by Derek Cianfrance. It's got Michael Fassbender and, oh man, I forgot the actress. Basically, they...
I'll look it up if you
Oh,
it's
talk. Alicia Vikander, I believe.
Nice.
Basically, it's about a couple that falls in love and can't have a baby, and then one day they find a baby in a rowboat abandoned. They take in the baby, and then, like, she grows into a little girl, and then they find out that they may know the actual mother who's still still bothered by the baby that she lost. It's a total tearjerker. I sent my wife the trailer and said, we will never watch this movie. And I didn't warn her other than that, and she watched it, like, right before bed and was, like, legit mad at me for making her cry.
Oh, God.
But it looks beautiful, and it looks like a real tearjerker, and those actors are so great. I still have not caught up with the Place Beyond the Pines or Blue Valentine, but Cianfrance just looks like, I think I'm saying that right, just seems like a really personal and raw filmmaker. So I definitely need to catch up with his work.
Yeah, I didn't see Blue Valentine, but Place Beyond the Beyond the Pines had a very strong auteur hand behind it. So this one was not on my radar, but it would have made my top 10 or whatever, probably. So thank you for that.
Of course. And then the last one, which better be on your top 10, it's the new Gore Verbinski movie. It's called A Cure for Wellness, and I don't know anything about it except that it has Dane DeHaan in it. But it's Gore Verbinski.
What? I haven't even heard of this.
Yeah, it's not a big franchise. He's going back to, I guess, the weatherman and the Mexican kind of territory.
Mouse Hunt.
I'm excited. Huh?
Like Mouse Hunt?
I think it may be
less populous than Mouse Hunt, but I'm not sure.
Bruh, this says it's coming out in February. The IMDb doesn't even have a plot.
It got bumped. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going off the Letterboxd, so that's what I get.
Oh, okay. Makes sense. Yeah, it's got Jason Isaacs in it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it seems like a really small little thing.
Probably the bad guy.
Maybe it's a like super low key Pirates of the Caribbean sequel.
Yeah, like a courtroom drama where in like that world. Yeah.
Yeah, or like Jason Isaacs. No. It's like modern day, and Jason Isaacs is like Dane DeHaan is like the ancestor of Jack Sparrow, and you know they have to. Yeah, it's like a courtroom drama where they're suing each other over some sort of MacGuffin. I like this movie that we're writing. It's great. Yeah.
Over like a deed to a ship, to the Black Pearl.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. Yep.
Done.
Yeah. Done. Yeah, so that's
greenlighted Hollywood.
So that's our 2017 most anticipated list. well, awesome. Well, this was a lot of fun. Like Ben and I said in our top five of the year so far show, it's been a really good year so far, and it looks like there's a lot left on the horizon. So I think 2015 was a really great year, so I'm glad that 2016 is shaping up pretty nicely as well.
Yeah, I mean, every year is great if you know where to look.
Yeah, movies are great.
2016, yeah. I mean, I've got like a good, 10 movies so far that like I think are like good to great that I saw. And I haven't seen that many because like you, I have a toddler at home. But what I have seen for the most part is pretty darn good.
Hey, real quick, rattle off like what might be in your top five, just for memory, just so listeners.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Green Room. I'm vamping because I have it right here. Okay. Green Room, The Lobster, The Witch, Hail Caesar. Those are like my interchangeable top four right there. And then vying for number five, you got 10 Cloverfield Lane, Everybody Wants Some, Midnight Special, and because I am a snob, this Japanese movie called Our Little Sister by the director Haizo Koreeda, who makes good like little family movies.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those films were on either me or Ben's list, so it seems like we're kind of all on the same page that there have been some really, really strong movies so far.
Yeah, and like Zootopia, I don't know if I mentioned that, and Finding Dory are also like two films that I really liked. So even like the kid stuff, if you will, is pretty strong this year. You know, because like Pixar is always going to be good, but you don't know about, the other stuff. And arguably Zootopia was better than the Pixar movie this year. So,
that was
pretty exciting.
I'll add the BFG onto that list too. That's a really bizarre kid that is good for people. It's not
nice.
It's not Minions, but it's really
yeah.
a kids movie. It's low stakes, it's soft, but it's still meaningful, and like I said, it's weird as shit.
Okay, yeah, I'll catch up with that one on Blu-ray. And it seems like the only kind of, like, big, dumb movie for kids that made a lot of money is Secret Life of Pets. Ice Age 5 didn't make money, and there were a couple others maybe that also didn't make
a bit
of money. So.
And
it's getting better,
I think. I've heard reasonable people say that that's okay. So that's an okay movie.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I think it's not. And all the block, I mean, I don't think there's anything that's made, like, a tremendous amount of money that has been, like, terrible. I think the highest grossing thing might still be Civil War, and that's a fantastic movie. So a lot of people are crapping on The Summer, at least, and I think that it was a lot better than people are giving it credit for, even if the right things didn't make the right amount of money, and there were some major stinkers in there.
Right, and The Jungle Book... I haven't seen that, but it's got
good
reviews and people like it. So
yeah, it's good.
There you go.
Absolutely. All right, man. Well, thanks again for your time, and hopefully these movies turn out to be as good as we hope they will be.
Yes, I am very excited for them, and thank you for letting me come on and do a countdown list. I bugged you for that, and thank you for acquiescing. You are
absolutely
a kind man.
Well, we'll do it again. And real quick before you go, what's coming up on Dawn of the Dead?
Oh, yes, of course. So this month, within a few days of recording, I will upload a episode that you were so gracious enough to be on about E.T. and Amblin films in general. My podcast is about being a dad and being a movie lover and how to, like, foster a love for cinema in my kid. So people come on, they talk about like their relationship with the movie that they are suggesting, and then we talk about the movie. So it's a movie podcast and also kind of a young parenting podcast sometimes.
Yep, and it was
so,
a lot of fun
thank
to be
you
on
for,
there. And you have how many episodes posted now?
You will be the 18th episode. I do one a month, one a calendar month. So,
yep, and they're all pretty great.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Dawn of the Dad.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks again, and have a great rest of the day.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. This was awesome. A blast.
For more Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.